This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Sam, thank you for taking the time to hop on. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Now, you're also in the stadium, aren't you?
I am inside the stadium right now, yeah. It's a little wild already, and it's, as you mentioned, we got a couple hours to go still yet.
It's a little wild already? What does that mean? We got some students out there, the media going crazy over food. Things are wild already?
They did just open the buffet line, so that was the wild on my end. But Purdue definitely showed out for this thing. There are a ton of Purdue fans outside the stadium, in the city, restaurants, bars. It's almost like a massive Glendale, Arizona party scene for miles, it seems like. And, you know, when you haven't been in the national title game since 1969, a lot of these people have been looking forward to this opportunity for a long, long time.
Well, absolutely, Sam. Well, let's cut to the chase. Do you think all of these fans who travel from Indiana out to Arizona, do you think they're going to see the Boilermakers win their first championship?
Oh, that's I think this is going to be just a great game down to the wire. And Purdue's going to have to play better than the other night for sure against North Carolina State. I thought Purdue put together maybe one of its best defensive games of the year that night, but offensively left a lot to be desired. That said, I haven't seen this Purdue team play poorly in back-to-back games in basically 2 years. So maybe that bodes well. You got the nerves out of the way. You still got to win. You got to the championship game. If Purdue's able to pull this out, it's really going to come down to having to play better, especially at the guard position, the point guard position, where Braden Smith had a little bit of a struggle in the first half the other night.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. It took us late into the game for Purdue to roll away with it. Sam King is joining us from the Journal and Courier covers of these Boilermakers. There's so much attention that's paid to Zach Edey. When you think about how this team has evolved throughout the course of the year, who do you think or who have you seen make the biggest jump that has helped propel them from the disappointments from past years?
I think it's several guys, you know, and collectively just playing together better. Last year, it was much of the same guys, but, you know, come NCAA tournament time, it was like Zach Edey had to score 30 points or you weren't going to have a chance. And ultimately, the outside shooting is what killed Purdue. But Trey Kaufman-Wren, who was a guy not getting a lot of minutes last year, is now a starter. He's done a phenomenal job being another post presence next to Zach Edey. Mason Gillis, who plays the same position as Trey Kaufman, is totally different at the four position. He comes off the bench and gives you a kind of a rough defensive guy, a rebounder, and a guy who's shooting almost 50% from three-point range. Both of those guys have improved significantly this season, and I think that's probably, when you look at Purdue, you talk about the guards, you talk about Zach Edey, nobody really talks about those two guys, and I think they are big-time X factors.
Well, we know that there is a big, and you're speaking of big men, UConn has a big man of its own in Klingon, who, although he's not the size of a Zach Edey, he's 7'2". He is no small fry. What do you think about that matchup in particular? We saw a different type of big man oppose Zach Edey the other day and DJ Burns. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, this is, you know, a lot of people are talking about this, and rightfully so. Klingon is probably the best defensive center that Zach Edey's played all year. So from that perspective, you're going to see something that you don't see a whole lot of if you're, you know, the national player of the year. But at the same time, Purdue has a 7'2" center on its roster that is actually a pretty skilled player. We just don't know who he is because Wilberg sits behind Zach Edey. So Zach Edey's playing almost 40 minutes every single night, but he's beating and banging with a 7'2" guy in practice every single day. So the size, I don't think, is going to be an issue, or the length. It's probably just going to be the skill more than anything. And I think Klingon's going to obviously do some things that that Edey hasn't seen yet this year that's going to cause him to have to adjust. But so far, for the last 2 years anyway, I haven't seen a team that really could guard Zach Edey one-on-one and stop him because he's just so physically imposing at 7'4" and 300 pounds.
Yeah, Sam King is joining us, covers the Boilermakers in Indiana for the Journal and Courier. That's for Zach Edey. And I talked about some of the failures over the past couple of years for Purdue to even get to this point. What is this, or what would a win mean for Matt Painter? This is almost like gigantic monkey, you know, off of his back if they walk away with a victory. He's been there for the better part now, what, 20 years?
Yeah, he was an assistant for 1 year, coach in waiting, basically, and then the last 19 years has been a head coach. And he's had really good teams, had some deep NCAA tournament runs, but until last week, he had never won an Elite Eight game. And people kind of gave him the label of the best coach who had never been to the Final Four, which is a label that, you know, probably tells you that you're a good coach, but it's also a label you don't really want. And now he's got that monkey off his back. And now people probably look at him in the same light as a Mark Few at Gonzaga. Like, these are really good coaches, but they're the best ones who haven't won a national championship. And you can change that narrative with 40 minutes of really good basketball against, you know, a UConn team that really has a chance to solidify itself as an all-time great program.
Well, Sam, when you think about what may happen after tonight, win, lose, draw, we know Edey's going into the NBA. What growth have you seen in his game? And for someone who's covered him since he arrived onto the scene, where do you think he slots in that? Are we looking at someone who's a backup center? What is he going to look like on the next level?
Yeah, obviously, the NBA game is much different than the college game. You don't post the center up for 40 minutes in the NBA anymore. Now, 25 years ago, he's probably top five pick. Obviously, when you look at him, you see him shooting from 5 feet away pretty much every time he gets the ball. But he's really, he's got a nice stroke. People don't see him shoot because in the college game, you know, you're a fool if you have a guy that big and you're having him out on the 3-point line. But he's got a nice touch from three. He at the NBA draft combine last year, he really showed that he can shoot the outside shots with regularity and hit it. But I think if he can just have a consistent 15-foot jumper, get a little bit better defensively, he's much better. Yes, where he got better, his footwork and being able to guard people going to the basket rather than just camping under the lane and waiting for somebody to come to the basket. He's gotten a lot better at that. But if he can do that and he can hit some mid-range jumpers and get paired with the right team that has, you know, the guard that can make it work, I can see him being a guy that can play 10 minutes a game in the NBA, but I don't see him going out and being an NBA all-star or anything by any means.
Sam, thinking about what this might mean for Purdue, because he's gone, what does the team look like for next year? Is there any idea? Are they peaking right now? Are we starting from scratch? What do the Boilermakers look like into the future, especially with all of this NIL and player movement?
For all of the change in college basketball with the transfer and NIL, Purdue is kind of a throwback program. These guys are all recruited out of high school, developed in the same program for 4 years, and then they get their degree and move on and whatever else. It's kind of unique in this day and age. Purdue has one transfer on the team. He's a fifth-year grad transfer from Southern Illinois. All these other guys were recruited out of high school by Matt Painter. So I think that's kind of the cool thing about this story. If Purdue can win, it's like, hey, you don't have to adjust and do the transfer portal, building a team on the fly like the past. But yes, kind of what this team looks like next year. And Zach Edey's gone, yes. You lose some key pieces. Lance Jones, obviously, being that fifth-year transfer, is a big loss. But Purdue has its best recruiting class of all time coming in next year. Six freshmen coming in next year. And Fletcher Boyer and Braden Smith have started every game since they were freshmen. And they're only going to be juniors next year. I really, really believe that this is just breaking through the glass, and now you kind of open the door where Purdue is a program that you hopefully can sustain this and be a team that's trying to get into the Final Four multiple times in the coming years.
Oh, well, Sam, certainly enjoy yourself out there. Are you enjoying yourself a little bit? Are you participating? Or are you just all basketball? I asked the same question to Dom.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy with work stuff, but late at night I've been able to enjoy myself a little bit, and I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Okay, no doubt about it. I understand. Listen, you travel, you go out to Arizona, you might as well, soak in a little bit of the sun, you know, while things are going on. Hey, Sam, where can people follow you and all of your work with the Boilermakers?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter/X, I guess it is now, at Samuel T. King. Same thing on Instagram. And if you want to read my work, I link a lot of stuff on there. So SAMUELTKING.
Yeah, well, Sam, thank you so much. And let's see what the Boilermakers do, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.